Praise the Lord. We should give God the honor due his name. And we talked about last week what honor is, several different aspects, one of which was to what? Make heavy somebody with much blessing, and also to respect and to highly esteem somebody. Psalms 29, 1 through 2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in splendor, in the splendor of holiness." Ascribe meaning give to the Lord. Give to God what is due to him, which is glory and honor. And briefly spoke about last week how to honor God, we are to give our entire lives to him. And we're going to continue on in this series in talking about how we give our entire lives to him. Today, we're going to talk mainly about how we give our praise to him and speak of him well. Hebrews 13:15 says this, "Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name." So with our voices, we are to honor God. We are to praise him that he is due and to acknowledge what he has done. And it says it's a sacrifice of praise. It's a laying down of our pride and reapportioning it to God and bringing him the glory and the honor, recognizing that we have not done anything of our own accord. So it's a sacrifice of praise. And in if you read through the Old Testament, a sacrifice was something that you would lay on an altar and that you would generally burn. And the aroma of that was pleasing to God. It was a pleasing aroma to him. So when we praise him and we offer that sacrifice of praise, it's a pleasing aroma to him. He enjoys it. Now, we come on Sundays and we just went through several songs where we were worshiping and we were praising, but this is not the only setting in which we should be praising God. Not the only time during the week where we should be worshiping him. Now, there's several words in the Bible that translate into our English language as praise, which means to bless, glorify, honor, or thank someone with your words. So several words in the Bible that mean praise, which means to bless, glorify, honor, or thank somebody with your words. 789 times in the Bible is a word mentioned or referenced into praising either God or somebody else. So again, a big deal that we give honor, that we show honor where honor is due, that we thank somebody or we thank God when it is in our power to do so. I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you here this morning. Hopefully you're ready to hear the word of God. Amen. Psalms 147:1 says this, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting." Psalms 104:1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great, you are clothed with splendor and majesty." So that bless right there, another word that can, in other translations, says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." So again, these words are saying, I bless you, God, I glorify you, I honor you, I thank you for what you have done. And so we are to honor him with our lips. And again, like I said, not just on a Sunday morning. If the only time that you're praising God is on a Sunday morning, something's amiss. Something's wrong. And it should be continually on our lips. I think I read that in, Hebrews. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. because he is good, because he is worthy of it. Now, I don't know if you guys knew, but the word hallelujah, what its actual meaning is, and I'm going to tell you this morning if you didn't know. It actually stems from two root Hebrew words, first one being halal, and I believe that's on your notes, which means to praise or boast or exalt. To praise somebody or to boast about somebody or exalt somebody. And the second root word is Yah, which actually is a form of God's name, Yahweh. And we translate it many times in our Bible as the Lord or God. So hallelujah literally means praise to Yahweh, praise to God. So when you say hallelujah, you're saying praise to the Lord Most High who has done so many great things. And the core meaning of this verb is to express acknowledgement that God is good and that we should thank him. And we should. We should express that to God, that God, you are good. And I thank you for all that you have done, because you have done great things. Psalms 106:1, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. Psalms 151 verses and verse 2. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Psalms 111, 1. Again, I said I was going to read a lot of scripture today. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. So if you actually read through the book of Psalms, it's a lot of praising God. David writes a lot of these, but he also has some people that write these for him as well. But many of them are thanking God, recognizing what God has done in their life and thanking him for it. It's so important that we recognize what God has done in our life and we thank him for it. Not just a little thanks God and move on with your life to the next thing. But God, I recognize what you did for me. I recognize that I could not have done that on my own. I recognize that you met me in my time of need. Lord, and I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Praise Jesus. Amen. He is faithful. He will always fulfill his promises. He will always be faithful. Even when we're not faithful, God is still faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character does not change. Who he is does not change. He is a good God, and that will always be the case. And we can always trust in that fact. And we should thank him for all that he has done. One of my favorite stories that I like to just continually tell to people, because it's obviously something that me and my wife could not have done on our own. And it's the story of how we got our house. I remember one day we were, I can't remember exactly, and I think we were living at my wife's parents at the time, and we were saving for a house, and we were not really seeing anything on the market that we liked, and we were driving somewhere. I can't remember we were driving, and my wife said, "I'm gonna just pray that God will give us a house with, I think she said, 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a basement apartment that we can rent out." And then she listed a specific price, and I just started laughing. And she's like, "What, you don't think God can do that?" I was like, "You know what, babe? You go ahead and pray. I'll just piggyback on your faith right now, because I don't think that one can happen. So she prayed the prayer, and I was like, okay, amen. Kind of actually half-hearted amen. Amen. Whatever you say, babe. And we still weren't finding anything. And our realtor at the time, she came to us. She's like, I think you guys should look at this house. She's like, we don't really want to look at this house. It doesn't look like anything like we want. She's like, I think you guys should check it out. And we're like, okay. Whoever posted pictures for this place did a horrible job. Like, they probably were not trying to sell this place. But anyway, we walk into this house, and it looked nothing like the pictures. Now, it wasn't like gorgeous and beautiful. There was things that needed to be fixed. But as soon as we walked in, we saw the beauty that it could be. And we're like, what is this place? And it had 4 bedrooms. It had 2 bathrooms. It had in the basement an apartment that was mostly finished. And we're like, wow. And then our realtor said, yeah, this is actually a bank-owned foreclosure, and they just want the money that is left that's owed on the house, which was, and then it gets actually better. So I was like, okay, how much is that? And they gave us a price, and I'm like, okay, that's a little bit out of our range. So we offered an amount to them, and they declined it. We're like, okay, maybe this wasn't God's will. So it sat for another 3 months. Some other people offered higher amounts, which were declined. We came back again with our original offer, which was lower than the amounts that they had declined from some other people, and they accepted it. And it was the exact amount that my wife prayed for. So why do I tell that story? Because I love to tell how good God is. I love to praise his name. He's so good, and he's so faithful, and he's faithful even when I'm not faithful, even when my faith is small. How many are, like, you guys enjoy watching sports? The Seahawks, the Mariners, we got fans in here. All right. I have a very, I don't know what you say, love-hate relationship with the Mariners. It's like every season, they start out good, and then they seem to fade. And it's happened year after year after year. And I'm just like, I've grown weary in rooting for the Mariners. So every year now, for the past 4 or 5 years, when they start off good, I'm just like, yeah, well, just wait until the All-Star break. And they'll break my heart again, so I'm not even going to try. And so I'm like, I'm not even going to really root for them, because I know they're just going to break my heart. And so, lower my expectations is right. And I have. And so I am definitely a fair weather fan. And like probably most fans, I'm pretty fickle. Like, when my team is doing good, for the most part, I'm just like, yeah, here we go. When they're doing bad, I'm like, they're the worst. What are they doing? Like, is that manager even know anything about baseball? Like, why are they playing that guy? He's horrible. Have any of you guys watched the movie Angels in the Outfield? I love that movie. I just got that running through my head. Why would you put that guy in for their best hitter? And then all of a sudden he hits like an inside park home run as the ball's dancing around on. But yeah, sometimes I'm yelling at the screen or I'm yelling at the radio. Why are you doing that? But fans are fickle. Fans live by the motto of, what have you done for me lately? You guys haven't won for years, so I'm not even going to root for you. There's no hope, so why should I cheer? Why should I root? That's a fake fan, Joe says. But that's how most fans operate. What have you done for me lately? And many times we can relate to God in the same way. where he has done for stuff for us in the past, but we may be going through something difficult right now, and all we can focus on is how it is not good right now. And we're like, God, where are you? What have you done for me lately? But God has not called us to be fans who are fickle. God called us to be followers. Followers stick with somebody through the thick and the thin, through the good and the hard. God sticks with you even when we're knuckleheads and we walk away and we just do stupid stuff. He's like, please, I'm still with you. You can do this. Come back. So we should praise God not only when things are good, but we should praise him because he is good. I'm sure you've seen this many times. You see many athletes on TV give God the glory after they just threw the touchdown pass to win the game, right? I just got to give all God all the glory. Actually, I'm surprised many times. I give all the glory. Bleepity bleep bleep bleep. I'm so awesome. Like, okay. But rarely do you see somebody giving God the glory when they're experiencing a hard time or when they're experiencing defeat. But we should give God the glory at all times. Not just because he does good things, but because he is good. Psalms 34:1-3 says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. If you read through the Psalms, that's exactly what David did. Many times he would go through and be like, God, I am going through some tough times right now. My enemies are coming after me, and it just feels like I can't catch a break. It just feels like the whole world is against me. But God, you are good. I will continue to praise you. I will continue to worship you. I will continue to ascribe to you the honor that is due your name. I want to read a story here in the book of Acts. And before I get into it, just a little background. Paul and Silas, they're on a missionary journey. I can't remember actually which city they're in, but they are preaching the gospel, and there's this one girl who actually has a demonic spirit of divination who kind of like almost a fortune-telling spirit, and there's some men who were taking advantage of her, and she was making money for them, and she kept following Paul and Silas around and saying, these are the men of God, which was, she was speaking truth, but she was doing it to kind of like, I don't know, chide them and make fun of them. Finally, Paul gets annoyed with her so much, he's like, come out of her in Jesus' name, and the spirit leaves. Well, her owners were very upset at them for doing this because now their source of income was gone. So then they started riling up the crowd and bringing all these accusations against Paul and Silas. And so we're going to pick the story up here at this moment. And it says, as they rile up the crowd, this is Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 22. It says, the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, if you don't know anything about these prisons, the inner prison was a place where no light was shown. It was in the center, and it was dark, and it was damp, and it was gloomy. And then they put their feet in stocks. Most of the time, stocks were situated in a way where it would bring discomfort to the prisoner. And so their feet were fastened, and they actually had, I think, guards on either side. And so they're in this dark, damp prison, bruised, bleeding from the beating they just took. And this is what they do, verse 25. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So as they're bruised, as they're bleeding, they're in the inner prison where there's probably no light, definitely not at midnight. They're in pain, they're in agony, and then they're worshiping. They're singing hymns to God. And I'm thinking they're probably singing the hymns of Psalms, praising God and giving glory his name. Now notice what is happening as they're praising and singing and praying and singing hymns to God. It says the prisoners were listening to them. Now this word listening does not just mean hearing the noises receiving the noise into their ears. They weren't just merely hearing the audible things coming out of their mouth. This word means they were listening with intent. They were intently listening to what was coming out of the inner prison because they'd never heard anything like that before coming from there. Most of whatever they would hear was moans and groans and curses like, why have you put me in here? You're the worst. But in this instance, they're hearing praises. Praises from people who have been beaten and tormented. And they're like, what is going on? This isn't normal. Why are they doing this? And they were listening with intent, and they were bewildered, and they were amazed and in awe of what was going on. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison's doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. He did that because if prisoners escaped under your watch, you would be killed anyway. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, trembling with fear, fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Come on. The jailer, along with everybody else in that prison, were listening to what Paul and Silas were doing. They were listening to their praises. They were listening to them honoring God in the time of their pain. In the time of their torment. And because of it, he's like, I want what you got. I want to be able to praise God when things aren't going good. I want to have that hope that you guys have, that joy that you guys have. I've never heard that before. I want that. It's been, probably 12, 13 years ago. Now my son is 14. And after we had my son, I think a couple of years after, we got pregnant again. And we were excited to have a new baby in our house. But 2 months into the pregnancy, we got the hard news that we had lost the child. And that time and that year was very difficult and painful. And we asked God questions. Why? Why did you let this happen? And it's okay to bring your feelings to God and be raw with God. But God was faithful in that time, and he brought friends around us who encouraged us, who comforted us. And through that time, we felt God's love and we felt his faithfulness. And he allowed us to get pregnant the next year. My wife to get pregnant. I didn't get pregnant. Thank the Lord. But he allowed my wife to get pregnant again the following year. And 2 months into that pregnancy, we got the same news. Sorry, you guys. You lost the baby. And same emotions as before hit us immediately. Kind of that punch to the gut of why God? But almost just as immediately right after, we felt the overwhelming presence of God. We felt his peace. And we knew because of his faithfulness before, he would be faithful again. And we said in that time, I remember as we were sitting in our car together, and as we were still kind of just even processing what was just spoken to us again, we're like, God, you are good. Regardless of what we're going through right now, we know you are good. We know you are faithful. You brought us through before, you will do it again. We know your love, we know your grace. And we will continue to honor you with our praise. We will continue to praise you. Even in our pain, we will praise you. And we will continue to trust. We will continue to trust you, whether on the mountaintops or in the valley low. And we continue to trust that your ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55:9 says this, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So regardless of what we're going through, we should praise God. And I would tell you this, as we just read in the scripture, it's one thing to praise God on the mountaintop. It's another to praise him in the valley low. And people take notice when you praise God, when you give him honor due his name, when you're going through the storm, when you're going through the pain, they take notice. And they're like, that's not normal. Nobody does that. Why are you joyful as you're going through this? Why do you continue to speak well of God as you're going through this? It's because God is good. He doesn't just do good. He is good. And he is faithful. And I know that he will bring me through this time. As we close, I just want to quote a little bit of this scripture. It's Psalms 103. And it says this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion." God is good. He doesn't just do good. He is good. And we should praise him continually. We should praise him in the good and in the bad. His praise should continually be on our lips. And when we praise him, when things are going horribly wrong, it opens the eyes of the unsaved. It opens the eyes of those who don't know him. It opens the eyes of those who don't know the goodness of our God. and it makes them want it. It makes them want what we have. It makes them want to know the God of peace, the God of joy that they don't possess, that when they go through something hard, they feel lost and they're afraid and they don't know what to do. But our God never leaves us or forsakes us. And when we praise in the darkness, when we praise in the pain, the world takes notice. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. You can't praise somebody you do not know. So to praise and honor God, you first have to know this God of goodness. You have to know this God of grace. So if you do not know him, if you do not know his love, which he poured out for you, which he gave his son for you, if you do not know him this morning, with just every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as your friend, and to know his love, to know his grace, to know the peace that only he can bring. So if that's you this morning, you've never given your life to Christ, and you want to, you say, I want to know this Savior. Can you just raise your hand this morning? Is there anybody like that? Say, I need Jesus. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? See that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Okay, we're going to pray this prayer together. And this is a cry of our hearts. God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I need to know you. I need to know your love. I need to know your faithfulness. I need to know that you never leave me or forsake me. So just repeat after me. Father God, thank you so much for your love. You sent your son to die for me. Jesus, thank you for your love and for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all my sin and help me to live for you and help me to know that you are near all the time and help me to honor you all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. If I could have the prayer team come on forward, just as we close with some worship, if you need more prayer, God who loves you wants to be there for you. He is there for you. But sometimes it's good to have somebody pray with you. The Bible says where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. So please come get prayer as we close. And let's just, as we end this time, let's honor God with our lips. Amen.